250,000 different kinds of flowering plants. Every plant has basically the same part. The roots and the stem and the leaves and then the flower. And some even fruit. But there's one most important item, if not present. Not one of these 250,000 plants would exist. And it is the seed. Every plant starts with a little bitty seed. Now, seeds come in all different shapes. They come in all different sizes. They're thick, they're thin, but seeds are no good on the shelf. They must be sown. And so it is the responsibility of somebody to place the seed in the ground. And after the seed is placed in the ground, just because the plant doesn't grow the next day doesn't mean that the seed wasn't any good. We're told that some wheat seeds can lay dormant for 30 years inside the ground before they ever begin to grow. But they'll never grow unless they're sown in the soil. I hope you realize that we as God's children must sow seeds.
Amen.
God is not concerned about us growing flowers. God is concerned about us sowing seeds. And nobody this morning can debate with me about it. If the seed is not planted, nothing will ever come up. The Lord Himself made that very clear to us, that we must be sowers. You and I have the awesome responsibility as a child of Him to sow seeds every single day. And it reminds us that we're not to sow seeds of discord and disunity, but we're to sow seeds of delight. Jesus Himself says to us that we must be sowers.
Amen.
And if we do not sow the seeds, then folks will die without Christ.
Amen.
I hope you understand, it is the responsibility of every single child of God to sow seeds for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is not just up to the pastor, it's not up to just the staff, it is not up to just Sunday school teacher. Every child of God must be sowing seeds for our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On a certain occasion, Jesus was speaking to the multitude of folks in Matthew chapter 13. And He was trying His best to share with them, and on this occasion, there was a large group had gathered down by the seaside. And the Bible said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 2 that Jesus went on board the ship and sat down. And the ship really went out just a little bit, and He used the ship as a platform to tell them about sowing seeds. For the first time in the Gospels, He spoke to them in the form of parables. Now, you and I have been around that we know what parables are. So the first time, the parable, He spoke in a parabola, which simply means to throw alongside it. And here's what Jesus was saying to that multitude of folks. He said, let me place a thought in your mind. Let me just put a nugget of truth in your heart. Let me just tell you something, just for a moment, about being the sower. And He shared some advice to us about the sower. Now, if you've got your Bible this morning, let's you and I examine it in Matthew chapter 13. if the task of sowing was not important, then Jesus would not have shared it with us, starting out in his first parables. And in this first parable, he reminds us of the task that is before us. That if people are going to enjoy the kingdom of God, that it must start with a little seed in their heart.
Amen.
Nobody will ever, ever, ever be saved unless the seed is planted.
Amen, brother.
He says that the seeds must be planted. Now, what are the lessons? And very simple, very simple. You could have done a better job probably than me this morning. But what are the lessons that the Lord is trying to teach us? Look at verse 3. Look what he says. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold. He talks about, first of all, the dedication of the sower. He says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. There's no guarantee that a large harvest is going to come. The sower is never told that a harvest is around the corner. He just goes out simply and sows. The largest problem that we have in the average church today is a lack of dedication.
Amen.
Folks are just not dedicated to live their lives for Jesus 7 days a week. And Amen. Folks are just not dedicated to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
We say, well, how am I assured that they will come to know Christ? You're not assured. And God never told us that everybody was going to come to Christ. But guess what? If one comes to Christ because of your seed sowing, don't you think it's worthwhile?
Amen. Amen.
And so he talks about the dedication of the soul. Now, you don't have to study very deep, and you don't have to be a theological person. I can't even talk this morning. But you can discover what he's talking about on this soil. Here's what he's saying. That we must sow promptly. A sower went forth to sow. If you and I do not get up and go forth to sow, then the harvest will never come. He did not say, I've got to go down to the agriculture department for a manual on sowing. He didn't say, we've got to have a church conference and decide what we need to be doing about sowing. No, the Bible said that a sower simply grabbed his bag of seeds and he went out to sow. We have wasted so much time in our churches by coming together and worshiping and celebrating Jesus and never going back out in our community. Can I remind you today, it's a very simple fact. That is that there's lost men and women and boys and girls all around us. And if we don't plant a seed, then they may never, ever come to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother. Amen.
We can do everything we want to mission-wise, and we should, and we can support all of our missions, and we ought to. But church, let me tell you, Christ does not want us to sit by and let our own community die and go to hell.
Amen.
He wants us to sow seeds.
Come on, brother.
And we've got to do it promptly. People say, well, we've got to be trained. That's right. People say, well, we've got to have CWT, and that's good. Continue witness training. We've got to be certified in evangelism explosion. That's good. But I'll tell you, once you've become certified, you've got to be using what you've been taught. And listen, we make so many so hard. You don't have to have all those things. There are help to do that. But all you've got to do is go out there and tell them what a precious Savior from Calvary did in your heart.
Amen.
That's what you're doing. Just go out and say it. I was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. I was blind, but now I see. And guess what? Whatever problem that you're facing today, tell those folks that Jesus Christ is the answer.
Amen.
Just go out there and tell them. And we've got to do it promptly. I really believe that we're closer to Jesus coming than we've ever been. I believe it's closer than we really think. And if we sit back, some of our loved ones are going to die without the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be worried. of the church, and we're going to let our community die. We've got to sow promptly. Grab your seed and start sowing.
Amen.
He said you've got to sow properly.
Hallelujah.
A sower went forth to sow. We could have meeting after meeting after meeting on what our church needs to do and how do we go from here and what areas do we cover. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We can sit around and waste time. Jesus simply commands us to take the seed of the gospel and spread it everywhere we go.
Amen.
Everywhere we go. So properly. So persistently. This sower never gave up. You look at the first few words of verse 4, it says that he, what's active, what? And when he sowed, he never gave up. If we're not persistent, people will not come to know Christ. You know something? We get all fired up about evangelism. We get all fired up about telling people about Christ. And we do it for a week or two and then it dies down. Can I tell you something? We must be persistent. We've got to keep telling folks about Christ.
Amen.
And even if they turn us off and run us off, we've got to still tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen, brother.
I've never been asked to leave but one home. That was in Fountain Inn. This man's wife was a member of our church. They could see the steeple of our church. This man did not profess the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, he'd tell you he was lost. And I went to see him one day with the purpose of trying my best to plant a seed in his heart. Been the pastor for several years. And I went in on that day and we began to talk about Christ. And he said, "Preacher, you can come down here and talk to me about the weather. You can come down here and talk to me about sports. You can even come down here and talk to me about the church. I really don't care. But don't come down here and tell me about Christ. Don't tell me about Christ. When I want Christ, I know where you're at. I'll come get you, and you can tell me about Christ." I'll never forget that. And his wife was sitting over on the other chair, and she looked over at him and said these words. "If you don't want to hear about Christ and you want to die and go to hell, I guess you've made your decision. And it's not on us, but it's on you."
Amen.
Can I tell you something? A lot of people in this building would not be saved today if it was not for the persistency of a Sunday school teacher, or the persistency of a youth worker, or the persistency of the children's workers. So a lot of people would not know Christ, but some folks believed in you when nobody else believed in you, and the greatest one that believed in you was the Lord Jesus Christ. So persistent. Don't quit. People say, "Well, that person's an alcoholic. That person will never come to know Christ." Can I tell you, Christ is still in the business of saving alcoholics. People say, "Well, that person hates the church. That person won't ever come into the church." And go back and listen to the life story of Saul, who changed his name to Paul. Nobody hated church folks any more than Saul did. But guess what? Jesus showed up one day and Jesus changed him.
Amen.
Just be persistent. We can't get fired up one month and die out the next month. We've got to be persistent in what we're doing. The greatest problem we've got in the life of our church right now that we're seeing people come to know Christ or seeing children come to know Christ is through our one approach. Folks are coming, children are coming to know Christ, and many of these children, parents don't care anything about church and don't go to church. But you know what's happening? Their children are coming to know Christ, and what we're praising God for is that child can go back into that home and help mom and dad and grandma and grandpa to come to know Christ.
Amen, brother.
We've got to sow seeds. It's not about us sitting here pacifying one another. It's about sowing seeds. It's not about us patting each other on the back. It's about sowing seeds. It's not about us coming in here and shouting to high heaven on Sunday. It's about going out there on Monday and telling people about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. People, 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 people must be our priority.
Amen, brother.
Got to sow seeds promptly. Get busy today. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, get your bag of seeds and go to that workplace. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, get your bag of seeds and go to that schoolhouse if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, get you a bag of seeds and go to that restaurant, and you don't have to be mean and rude and cold. Just tell them that Jesus loves thee.
Amen.
So seeds. Persistently and promptly. And the sower was sowing patiently. We must have patience. The hardest thing you've got to understand in Christian life is to have patience and wait on Christ. When we pray prayers, we want Christ to answer immediately. When we ask Christ to save our loved ones that are lost, we want Christ to do it immediately. All Christ tells us to do is plant the seed and then let Him do His part. If the seed is never planted, the Lord can't do His part. And then we're to sit back and patiently wait on the Lord. We're just to wait on the Lord. Patience. Patience. If you don't have patience, you will not be effective in seeing people come to know Christ. It may take 30 years for that seed to produce. It may take 10 years for that seed to produce. That seed may produce overnight. But have the patience that that seed is going to produce.
Amen.
And by the way, if you go tell somebody about Christ, you walk out of that house and you get in your car and you think in your mind, well, that person won't ever come to know Christ. That person won't ever do it. No, that's just too cold, too indifferent, they'll come to know Christ. Then you've defeated yourself. You go get in that car and say, God, thank you that I had an opportunity to share that seed tonight. Thank you that I planted that seed. Would you take now and help that seed to germinate and help that seed to grow in the heart of that person?
Amen.
I was called upon to visit one of the most drug infested persons that I guess I ever have met, who lived every day for his drugs. And I walked into his house. He lived in a mobile home, and I walked in that mobile home and sat out across from him that day, cleaned out the place of his set, and I sat down in that chair. And we got to talking about Christ. And I could tell him, I could call his name, a lot of you may know him, but I could call his name, and he said, nah, I kind of like my drugs, I kind of like this, I kind of like my lifestyle. And I called him by his first name, and I said, well, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, all I've come to tell you is, but the greatest high is not found in that marijuana that's laying there on that table. The greatest high is found in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is absolutely nothing. I've been there. I don't know what I'm talking about. There is nothing like feeling the power of God and sensing His presence in your life and knowing everything's okay. There's nothing like that. I know that. And we talked for a good long time. And I finally said this. I said, okay, I know you're not ready right now. I know you're not ready. The statements you've made, I know you're not ready. You kind of like your lifestyle. You don't see no need to change. But I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait patiently on you, and when you get ready, you call me, and I'll tell you more about my Jesus. Week passed, didn't hear faith. 2 weeks passed, didn't hear faith. 3 weeks passed, didn't hear faith. A month passed, and my phone rung one day, and he says, is the offer still good? And I said, what are you talking about? He said, is the offer still good? He said, would you come tell me about your Christ? I said, I sure will. I went in that room, sat down in that same chair, and told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. He and I got on the floor of that trailer, and we prayed, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I watched him get up, and when he got up, he said, Preacher Ron, watch this. I've got to do this. And he began to clean out his cabinets of all his drugs that he had hidden in that place, and he flushed them down the toilet, and he said, I'm going to believe in you that what you said is true, that the greatest high comes from Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You say, what happened to him? He came in the life of the church. I baptized him. And you know what he's doing today? He's going into ministry to tell people about the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Tell me.
Thank you, Lord.
Just patiently wait on the seed to produce. Hey, I'm reaping. I'm not doing all. Now, all these people come to know Christ is not me. I'm reaping where folks years ago planted seeds.
Right.
Men stood here better than me and planted seeds. Sunday school teachers went out and planted seeds. I'm just the one that's getting to watch them walk the aisle and give their heart to Christ. But I'm just so glad that somewhere at some time, somebody planted seeds.
Amen, brother.
Of the Lord Jesus Christ. The dedication of the sower. The sower went out to sow. Have you sowed anything? Have you sowed anything? I'm just sensing that Jesus speaking this. Now, he is trying to remind the crowd the need of just going out there day by day, being yourself, and sowing those seeds. Now, a very quick thing on this. If you're going to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, don't ever let that person who you're witnessing to think that you think you're better than they are.
Right.
Amen. For you're no better than they are. You just happen to know Jesus and you want them to come to me.
Right.
Dedication of the soil. But he went on. And he gave us a description of the soil. Here's what it said. Some seeds fell by the wayside. And the fowls came and devoured them up. Jesus not only describes the sower, he describes the soil. He tells us what we're going to encounter. He tells us the kind of soil that is out there. And in that day that Jesus was speaking, the sower would carry a little shoulder pouch filled with seeds. And he'd go everywhere that day. And he'd throw a seed over here. And he'd throw some seeds over here. And cast seeds over here. And his seeds would go everywhere. And Jesus used that illustration to show them what kind of soil you and I are going to run into. He said there's going to be that wayside soil. As the sower sowed some of the seeds, it would fail on the wayside. And the ground was so hard that the seeds did not take root. Well, they couldn't take root. And as the seeds lay on top of the ground, the birds would come and devour the seeds. There's some people who hear the word. They hear what you say, but they never take it in. And if it lays there long enough, it may by chance take root. And the devil doesn't want it to lay there very long. But the problem is this. Not all the wayside soil is found on the outside of the church. There's some wayside soil in here as well. There's some sitting in this building today that you don't want to hear what Christ can really do in your life.
Amen.
Seeds are thrown, seeds are planted, and you get up and walk out and never say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more you walk out, the easier it is for you to walk out, and the seeds never take root, and the devil devours them up, and you leave this building so negative every time you leave, and those seeds go to waste. Can I remind you, church, if you're sitting here today, the greatest, 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 greatest thing that could ever happen to you is that the Lord Jesus Christ would save your soul.
Amen.
Wayside soul. He said some fall on the wayside. But when you run across wayside soil, you don't get discouraged. Just quit sowing and say, well, what's the use? Why not just quit? We can't do this any longer. No, you just keep playing. Look what else he said in verse 5. Look what he said. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. He talks about worthless soil. Now he's not speaking of ground that is covered with rocks. But he's talking about a rock ledge that is covered with a thin layer of soil. You've all seen that. Just a thin layer of soil. There's no depth to the soil. And some of the seeds would fall on the thin layer of soil and quickly spring up. I mean, quickly, overnight, it seemed, would spring up. Overnight, greenery was noticed. But when the sun would come up and the heat would bear down, the plant would quickly die because the plant had no root. It was setting on top of the ground. It is through the root and the deepness of them that the plant is able to stand in the snow. There are people who listen to the gospel who claim to be so religious. Mom and Dad always brought you to church. Everything's just, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Presbyterian. I go to Pentecostal church, right? I go do all these things. We're so full of religion, but I'll tell you what happens when the sun comes up. You don't have any root in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you wither and you die.
Amen. Right.
What good is salt if a plant won't grow?
Amen, brother.
He goes on. Look at verse 6. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. Look at verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. The sower went out to sow. He sowed on wayside soil. He sowed seeds in worthless soil. He sowed seeds in worldly soil. They fell among the thorns. These plants grew and were doing pretty good. They had their roots down. They were set. Everything was going good. And then the thorns going around the outside of the field grew also, and it choked the life out of the plant. This is the person who listens and understands, but their mind is so preoccupied with other things. They want to be a Christian, and they want to be worldly at the same time. They want to live in both of the lives, and you cannot be worldly and be a Christian at the same time. You've got to choose which life you want to live. I think some of these come to know Christ.
Yeah.
But the things of the world get a hold of them, and the things of the world begin to choke Christ out of their life. The church is filled with this kind of people today. Yeah. Christ is real and giving you life, and the world has choked the life out of you.
Amen, brother.
And there is nothing any worse than to be a lifeless child of God.
Amen.
Where you have no joy, no energy, no passion, no pleasure, no nothing for Christ. You go through the motions. There's more to living for Jesus than just going through the motions. And then verse 8. But other fell in the good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You're going to throw on the wayside soil and the worthless soil and the worldly soil, but aren't you glad that there's still a wonderful soil? This is where you throw the seeds. People accept Christ. Their lives change, and they begin to bring forth fruit, and their fruit brings forth fruit, and their fruit brings forth fruit, and their fruit brings forth fruit. If you want to grow a church, I'll tell you how you grow a church. You do it when one person gets fired up about Jesus and they start sowing seed.
Amen, brother.
Amen. I just have the privilege of baptizing those who come to know Christ after you planted the seed. The sower must be dedicated. Nobody will know Christ if you're not.
Amen.
Stand with me this morning.